Hey, what's going on? This is Dr. Roddy Ferguson, and welcome to another edition of Coffee with Roddy. I hope you're having a great day up to this particular point. I wanted to share a few things with you about what's been going on in my life. As you know, we're getting ready to celebrate St. Thanksgiving in this part of the globe, in the United States, and this is a week where people eat an enormous amount of food and stuff themselves to the point of redundancy, all in the name of being thankful. Well, I have not participated in this tradition in years. And for those who follow me, for those who know me, you are now very aware that on Thanksgiving, when everyone else is zigging, I'm zagging. I go super hard in the opposite direction during the fourth quarter of the year because Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas have a tendency to tie in with fourth quarter weight gain that people attack during their New Year's resolution, only to end up in the same places they were in July and August of the year before, or worse. So I just don't do it. My weight right now currently is as high as it's ever been. I'm at a solid 247 pounds. I'm not happy about it. I'm not sad about it. At the age of 46, now I know it needs to be done, and I'm currently doing it. I know you can't work this off. You can't run it off. You can't bike it off. You can't lift it off. And I'm putting in the small steps of discipline in order to get the weight off, and I've hired a coach. And I know some of you are saying, yeah, but wait, aren't you a strength and conditioning coach? Don't you coach health and wellness? Don't you? Yes, I do. And I'm giving you the same advice that I give my clients, and I'm taking the same advice myself, which is everybody needs a coach, and I need a coach too. So I, like you, I hire a coach when I need a coach. And some of you guys don't hire coaches because you think you can do it on your own, and listen, the more power to you. But I understand that the best way to do this is to get a coach. So I got a coach, and I'm making the adjustments and the changes, and it's going pretty well. Now, what's been going on in my life? Well, many of you know that I got divorced a few years ago. And as much as I don't like to think of my life as being like pre-divorce or post-divorce, the reality is, man, that's really how it is. And it's really how it is until you get like past the hump in your maturity process. And there's therapy, and there's healing, and there's forgiveness, and there's reconciliation, and continued therapy, and then the reconnection with God, and then there's sorting out of your personal life, and then you go through this I'm not good enough stage, and then you go through the man, fuck that bitch stage, and I don't need that motherfucking stage, and then you go through oh, my life is ruined stage, and then you go through this whole I'm living my best life lie. You know, you walk around and talk about I'm living my best. Well, you're lying. You're not living your best life. You're living the life that's been given to you, and you're doing the best you can with what you have. And then you go through this, you know, oh my God, will my kids be okay stage? And did I ruin my kids, or were my kids ruined in the process? And how can I save my kids? And then you realize you have to save yourself before you can save anybody. And then you go through this whole feeling guilty for wanting to save yourself first. I mean, it's just a it gets to be a lot. I didn't realize that there was so much more to the whole divorce process. I could probably write 5 books on it, to be honest with you. The problem is that going back and writing all that stuff down and going over those thoughts and those feelings again might put me, you know, back in somebody's office again, back on the couch. And I don't need to do that any more than I need to do it. And, you know, you go through all these thoughts. And sometimes they happen in waves, and sometimes they happen concurrently, you know. And some go away, and some lessen with time. But through it all, the key is to work on becoming more and more compassionate, you know. Understanding that I'm not the only person that's going through this. Other people have gone through before, and they've gotten through it. Some people are going to go through it, and some people have gotten through it. And I really talk about being compassionate because the divorce process can make you very callous. Just by the way of the process, because some of that callousness is required to push through and get to the other side. And I always get so, I used to get pissed when people would say, it's better when you get to the other side of it. And I had no idea what the hell they meant, but now I do. And I'm on the other side of it. I'm not done with it. I'm on the other side of it. And, you know, it's better. It's not necessarily great. As I have some more to go, but man, it's definitely better. And you become okay. You can even become great, but you always worry about the impact of the process on your children. And how can I say this? you know, you have to really devote time in that divorce process to personally, you know, recalibrating and personally revising and personally restructuring yourself and your life. And you wonder, why you're doing that for yourself, how much your children got chipped up in the process. I had to go back and reread a book called The Legacy of Divorce by Judith Wallerstein. She did a longitudinal study on it. And in that book, they go over case studies of children who went through divorce with their parents and adults who watched their parents experience divorce in adulthood and looked at the effects that it had on them, on their spouse. It looked at relationships when both kids come from a divorced household. Their ability to stay together, man, is... Let's just say that, you know, the best are at like a 55% failure rate. And people who come from divorced households, man, they're fighting a losing battle. They're really, really going uphill. The one thing that I could not... I know I'm jumping around a bit, but I would be hard-pressed to be able to recommend, and my kids are young, but to be able to recommend anyone to marry my children as my children come from a divorced experience. Just the divorced experience has tainted my kids' worldview and their lens about marriage, about family. And it has brought a level of cognitive and experiential ruination on their lives that they can't get through or run past as it pertains to the marriage process and per the data. I mean, you can listen to me and you can shake your head no, and you can tell me you're going to run around speaking tongues and throw some oil on it and pray. And you can, to which I believe those things too. And everybody doesn't fail, but the ability to succeed is lessened a great deal when you marry somebody who comes from a divorced household. It makes things super, super difficult. And I know parents who are together, and their first piece of advice to their kids when they get older is, man, don't marry anybody who comes from a divorced household. And I can understand why they would do that. I get it. But I had to reread that book by Judith Wallerstein, and I see some of the things that I really need to talk to my kids about so that they can head off some things at the pass, you know, before they enter, as they enter into their lives, you know, because there's just some things that they're not good. They just can't fight. They watched things go really well. They have no clue about why we split. I don't have any really in-depth reasoning behind it either, to be honest with you. I wish I did. They don't have any clue at all. And all they know is everything was going great, and then everything wasn't. And that provides them with a level of anxiety when dealing with anybody to the point where they think, hey, man, one day somebody's just going to up and just leave. And I get it. And that's their experience. That's what they saw. That's what they know. That is their particular truth. And that's going to be a tough one for them to deal with, because they don't see it as being a problem right now. And my kids are young. They're not going to therapy for that. And I'm not sending them to therapy for that. That would happen in the future. That's just something they have to deal with and work through, just like everybody else. So what's it like now, you know, being in the street? The dating challenges. Navigating the dating world, man, is really, really strange, to be honest. When you're single and you're over 40, you really aren't the catch, you know, that you thought you were. And even if you think you are, the fact of the matter is you're what's left. I mean, you're what's left over. All the good stuff was taken already, and you got dumped back out. You got thrown back out into the pile of cards. You're what's left, and not necessarily what's best. And that's that's how you think of yourself. You got to kind of reframe how you think about yourself. you know, nobody goes to the grocery store and grabs the milk with the closest expiration date on it. I mean, they sort through the milk and grab the, you know, the youngest milk, if you will. And nobody picks the fruit that has all the brown spots on it and the bruises. Now, we know when it comes to some fruits like plantains that if it's brown like that, that means it's really ripe. But nobody's looking for that. They pick the one that looks fresh and untainted. And with that being said, I had to find out that everybody who was out here is not what's left. Some people left. Some people got left. Some people made a left when they should have made a right. And some people are far too leftist for the right people. And that means that people are just different, man. You know, therefore, the people who are in the pool are the people that are available. As one of my favorite soca artists, Kerwin Dubois, said in his song, Right for Somebody, he says, you know, I may have been wrong for you, but I'm right for somebody. And you have to go into the dating world and with that mindset that, you know, I might not have been right for you, but I am right for somebody. And you have to get to the point where you say, I hope you find the right person for you too. Because that's just part of the healing process. Man, I want everybody to be happy. I want my kids to be happy, man. I want my ex to be happy. I want everybody to be happy, man. Listen, if I can look back and know that I did my best, and to know that in my doing my best, things worked out best, man, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. Because sometimes you just have to do that duty which is best, and then leave unto the Lord the rest. What else? Personal life. Well, my personal life and my business kind of go together. And, you know, we're on the tail end of the pandemic. But, man, we were in the throes of the pandemic, man, the pandemic was a rough time. Rough time for small business owners. And as a small business owner myself, I had to shift, pivot, shimmy, shake, and not break during the pandemic. And I never put my head down. I didn't cry during the pandemic. I never whined about the pandemic. In terms of my business, I did cry when I had COVID because I thought I was going to die. That's a true statement. My oxygen levels went down to 88. I couldn't breathe. Fell down in my backyard on my knees and like, God, please don't let me go out like this. Because if it keeps getting worse, there's nothing you could do. That's a whole other story. Hold on to the podcast. My business went down so bad. My martial arts business and my marketing business went down so bad. I thought I was going to be out of there. But then I said, hey, wait a minute. I said, some businesses are going to survive and some are going to die. I make the decision today that my business will survive and I will be here in the end. And then I jumped in, man. I jumped all in on the marketing and hired a marketing firm. And I spent my way out of the pandemic. And that was it. I can tell you right now, I'll tell you the truth. Her name is, her nickname in the marketplace is Midget. Chris Rodriguez is her name. She's a martial arts marketeer. Really, really good. I jumped into her coaching program. Man, I am telling you that what I was paying per month was a beating. It was a beating. It felt like a beating at the time because I paid for it in the pandemic. But I listened to her and I knew what she said was true. And I've heard it before in mastermind groups that I've been in. Like, when things go bad, you have to turn up the marketing, not turn it down. So the money that I spent during the pandemic with her marketing firm, I broke even. But during the pandemic, most people were losing money. So if I paid the money for the marketing and I didn't lose anything and I stayed where I was, man, that was a win because I was fighting and swimming upstream. And then when the pandemic was over, man, the skills that I learned, the tools that I learned, boom, my business took off. It took off. But I did not stop spending through the pandemic. I increased my marketing and my spending. And Grant Cardone talks about that in his book 10X. You hear a lot of people talk about that. And it's hard, man, because it's hard to have faith in something that you can't see. But that's what faith is. You know, That is exactly what faith is. And what I did is I jumped all in on the marketing side. And I didn't make a ton of money, but I did invest so much that I was able to make it through the pandemic. And this is what I want to leave you with today. All of the issues of life and all the situations that you go through require some type of investment. Some type of investment from you, you know, from others, some type of investment of time, sometimes money. And so, sometimes you got to make that investment to make it out. And sometimes you got to make that investment to make it through. Because what you invested caused you to get into the place that you're in now. Meaning, if you're in a bad relationship, you invested time in that relationship that you're in now, and you invested time elsewhere to cause it to go bad, or somebody invested time elsewhere to cause it to go bad. If you have a relationship with a leasing company for the car that you have, you got into the relationship with the leasing company for the car that you have. And you're going to have to pay to get out or take some type of penalty to get out of that particular relationship. It's going to require some type of investment to get out or to make it through. Because what you invested caused you to get in the place that you're in now. And what you invest will allow you to get out and or get through. So be very aware in life that where you invest, is where you are. Where you invest is where you are. Where you invest your most important currency, which is your time, that's where your heart is. And understand where your heart is where your mind is also. And your mind and your time must be protected and properly invested at all costs. So be very aware of where you invest your most important currency, your time. And be aware that where you invest your time is where your heart is. And understand that where your heart is, your mind is also. And your mind and your time must be protected and properly invested at all costs. Man, have a wonderful day. And in the meantime, be on the lookout for the Black Friday sale that will drop very, very soon. There are two of them. One is at www.gripfighting.com. The other one is at www.switchin6.com. Those particular Black Friday sales will be, they'll be kicked off in the next one or two days here. And take care. Remember, I love you, but God loves you best. And once again, be very aware of where you invest your most important currency, your time. And be aware that where you invest your time is where your heart is. Then understand that where your heart is, your mind is also. And your mind and your time must be properly invested and properly protect it at all costs. Take care.